Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My daughter, my son-in-law is coming up tomorrow, so y'all pray for him. My wife will be coming back on Friday, Miss Holly, with her. And April, she's up there with Tricia. They're flying back. So up in New York at Samson's, and pray for them to get back safely. And Sunday is Father's Day, so invite a daddy out. And your birthday. Is it really?
Yes, sir.
How old are you going to be? 20 years old. Wow. Pray for my brother that the Lord bless him, and he has. And Miss Anna, I want to give you right now while I'm thinking about it, money for the kids, some sponsor kids. So 1 John chapter 4, 1 John 4, we've already talked about spirits. And if you're saved, you got God's spirit in you. And the Bible says that if you don't have God's spirit, you're none of his. Romans chapter 8. And if you got saved, you got God's spirit. But when we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, it's talking about letting God have more of your flesh, more control of this, more control of your life. And the more you grow, the more you grow inside. The Bible says grow in grace and knowledge of his word. Grow in grace. You're supposed to be growing on a daily basis. If a Christian quits growing, their growth is stunted. And they quit growing, they quit reading their Bible, it's like quit eating. If you quit eating, what's going to happen? You're going to die.
That's right.
And if a Christian doesn't read their Bible and don't memorize the Word, hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against the Lord, if you don't do those things, you'll end up spiritually getting weaker and weaker and weaker. The Bible tells you that in Galatians it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, talking about a weaker brother or sister. But if somebody, you know, most Christians choose to stay weak. They just choose it. They just want to stay weak. They think, well, if I don't have any knowledge of it, I won't be judged for it. Oh, yes, you will. If it's in the book and you're not, you know, you're not studying the book and you're not checking things out and like you're supposed to, it's just like, you know, we sit around America. We love food. We love to eat. We love to go out. We got so many eating places all over this country. We can choose any time. My wife and I go out to eat more now than we ever have. When we was married and with the kids and growing up, we couldn't hardly go out to eat at all. After Bible school, I'd go out and collect cardboard and stuff just to get milk and eggs and bread. I'd go out and collect cardboard in my pickup truck and just so we can have money for that. And one night I was out collecting cardboard, and I was looking for some chicken bones from a dog. I was at Church's Fried Chicken, and I was digging out bones, and I was in a suit. And my kids were in the truck, in the van, and I'm in there digging out these bones. The guy that was closing, and he brought the trash out, and he goes, oh, man. He looks at the van, looks at my kids and everybody, looks at me. He said, man, you ain't got to do this. And, you know, I've eaten out of garbage can. That don't bother me. I mean, eating, that don't bother me. I can eat, I've told you before, I can eat a piece of chicken with maggots on my hand and it won't bother me a bit. I can eat it like that and it makes no difference. And I don't get sick over stuff like that. You know, people get sick, somebody, you find a piece of hair. How many of y'all get sick when you find a piece of hair in your sandwich or something? Yeah, I don't get sick. I don't even say nothing to the waitress. I just pull it out and eat it. I don't say nothing. Some people they flip out over that stuff. But being a trash man, it don't bother me. And but anyway, I don't even know why I told you that story. But anyway, I was collecting the cardboard and chicken out of the trash can, and the guy said, you ain't got to do this. He went inside, gave me all the leftovers. Man, I thought, hallelujah, what a blessing. I'm in there eating the leftovers, still digging out chicken bones for the kid, for the dogs, not for the kids. But But anyway, the Lord's good at it. My wife and I eat out more now than we've ever had. And, you know, it's a blessing. But when you're, you know, if you're spiritually, if you're not eating, you're going to die. And some people say, well, I read my verse for the day. You read more. I mean, listen, if you went to a buffet and you paid for the buffet, $20 for a buffet, and you went in there and you looked around the buffet and you found a little piece of lettuce and you just went, well, ate my food for the day. You'd be crazy. If you go to a buffet Man, you can eat all you try. I mean, everybody tries to eat as much as you can. Amen. Jack Patterson's been into a Chinese buffet, and the guy said, no more, no more, no more. You leave. You leave. You cost us too much. Get out. But anyway, but if most Christians eat like that when it comes to spiritual things. They think, well, you know, if I don't know, I won't be judged for it. No, you will be judged for things. Amen. But you say, well, much knowledge is weariness, you know, much study is weariness of the flesh. But it says knowledge, knowledge puffeth up. Yeah, when a guy gets in the Bible and he starts studying it, he gets known things. He gets, you know, but then all of a sudden he gets understanding and then he gets wisdom how to use it. Amen. He'll get wisdom how to use that knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with reading your Bible, learning things. And Nathan was telling me some things he's learning, and we went over some things about what the Bible teaches. Bryce has been telling some things that he's learning. So that's good. You ought to learn some things. I didn't want to be a blockhead the rest of my life. I still want to learn. There's some things I need to know. There's some things I forgot that I got to refresh my memory. I told you, Doc Ruttman was in my office, and he was preaching. And he had a book of Galatians that he had wrote, and a Galatian class. I walked in, and he's reading it. He's going through. He could read 700 words a minute. I wish I could read 700 some words a minute. If I could read 700 words, I'm trying. I tried to do it. And he's reading through that thing, just turned the pages. I said, man, you found something good to read. He said, yeah, this is good stuff. And I said, you ought to know. You wrote it. He said, you know what he said? He said, I don't remember none of this. If you don't go over things, you'll lose it. That's why you read your Bible from beginning to the end, from beginning to the end, from beginning to the end. If you don't go over it, you forget it. There's verses I've forgotten, and somebody will say it, and boom, it'll pop right back. You got to go over it. I got papers, my messages. I'm going over stuff. I'm going through stuff. I'm trying to remember. Even with the bills, I try to go over stuff, trying to remember what I'm supposed to do. I try to go over it, and I got to keep repetition, repetition, repetition. And the Bible is the same thing. What happens to a lot of people, they think they know it all. They sit there, that's right. You ain't teaching me nothing. Yeah. Right. And you don't know everything, man. Amen. If I put you on the spot like I did Ryan just a little while ago, it's hard, your mind goes blank. Amen. And amen. You got to, repetition, you got to go over it. Maurice surprised me. Maurice, when we was ordaining Maurice up here, Maurice never went to Bible school, nothing, but he studied. Amen. Maurice studied. And boy, we said one thing, he gave us 100 verses on it. He just boom, boom, he was doing it. He was on it. And you said, well, I ain't got time. My foot. Amen. We make time for what we want to do. Amen. Some people like to go fishing. I'm not patient enough to go fishing. I get out there, if I sat out there and threw a rod, I'd be going, all right, come on, get on. Get on. Yeah. I'm like the guy, I'd rather go fishing with dynamite, throw it out there and watch, see what's going to pop up. I'm just not patient enough. But I want to know. And when I got saved, I couldn't read or write. I wanted to know. I wanted to know what this book said. I didn't want to take a preacher's word for it. Some of y'all just take everybody's word for it.
Right.
You don't take nobody's word for it.
Amen.
You get messed up that way. You read the Word of God, study it, and say, Lord, show me. Show me. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, if you're saved, you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you, and the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into truth.
That's right.
And you know what? When a guy's not preaching right, it'll ring different.
You're right. You're right. Yes, sir.
And a guy's preaching right, it'll ring right.
Amen.
What happens to a lot of people, they say, well, I just you know what people do too? They'll say, well, I don't want to get like that. Now, Nathan and I was talking about people getting, you know, they get fearful. They see somebody on fire for God, and they go, well, I don't want to be that way, so I'll just be stupid. Yeah. I'll be ignorant.
That's right.
I don't want to be that way. So, and they said, that Bible, my dad used to say this. He said, oh, you read that Bible too much, make you crazy.
Man.
You know, in the movies, all the movies they show, they always show somebody killing everybody. He's a crazy nut. He's reading the Bible.
Yeah.
But that ain't the way it is.
Man.
The ones who's killing everybody is not reading the Bible.
That's right.
They got a spirit in them.
Right.
And it ain't God's spirit. And, you know, here it talks about love. And I said last week, you don't find very much love in the Old Testament. Now, there is scripture in the Old Testament talking about love. Take your Bible, look in Song of Solomon. Look at Song of Solomon. Look at Song of Solomon real quick. And I started looking up some scripture on love in the Old Testament. Solomon, he was David's son, took over the kingdom, and he wrote this, the Song of Solomon. People said, "What? Why in the world is the Song of Solomon in the Bible?" It talks about a love affair between a man and a woman. But it's a love affair that God the Son has with the church and God the Father with Israel. It's a love affair. God loves. Now, the reason why you don't read about "For God so loved the world" in the Old Testament, you don't read that much, "For God so loved the world." God showed his love when his son came. Amen. And God showed his love to Israel, but he said, he didn't say, "I love Abraham." He said, "Abraham's my friend." Right. He didn't say, "I love Abraham." He said he loved Jerusalem. Now look at it, Song of Solomon chapter 2, and look at verse 4. It says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." And you know, whenever a young couple gets married, they come down to the altar, they say the vows to each other, and they say their vows to God, and they pledge their love for each other, and they do all that, and then they go to the banqueting house, and they go to eat and to fellowship. And it says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." And a banner, you know what a banner is? A banner you hang up, and said his banner over me was love. And God, but she was saying the banner was love. Now look in Song of Solomon chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 6. This is wild. This is one of the wildest verses I've seen. It says, "He set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for God is strong, love is strong as what? Death." Love is strong as death. They always say the motivating thing behind people, there's a motivation of fear and love, and there's one other, I can't remember what it is. But fear and love is the two top motivations of people. Hate? Yeah, there you go, hate. And fear and love and hate. But the Bible talks about love being the strongest. Hate is pretty strong. And man, you think about fear, that's pretty strong. So them things, they're strong. It says that death is as strong as love. And he says, "Jealousy is cruel as the grave, and the coals thereof are coals of fire, which have the most venomous flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt." Man. So when a man, I believe in saying, "I love you," to my wife. I believe in saying, "I love you," to my children, Amen. To my grand. I believe even saying, "I love you," to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And Bible says over in 1 John, it says God is love. We found out the love of God when Jesus Christ showed up. When Jesus Christ showed up, man, we found out real love. What I knew before in my life was lust. All I knew was lust. We call it love, but it was lust. Men fall in love with what they see. They see a beautiful woman. They go, "Ooh, baby. Yeah." And they start talking trash. But it's all lust. Man. But real love, love is a sacrifice at times. Love is man, laying your life down. Man. I laid my life down for my wife and my family. At least I pray I would. Look at back to 1 John chapter 4. It says, "You are of God, little children." Verse 4, it says, "And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world." So if you got Jesus Christ in you, you got love personified inside you. If you got Jesus Christ inside you, you got him. And then it tells you how the world marks false teachers and all that. Look on down. They are of the world. It says, "They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And I wanted to connect this too. Real love is connected with truth.
Amen.
It's connected with truth. And real love is connected. And look what it says. Beloved, let us love one another. But look back at verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there's a spirit of error in the world, and there's a spirit of truth. And the spirit of truth is always connected with love. Truth. Love the truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. If you love the truth, and what the reason why we teach against false religions and all that stuff, because we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we love the truth, and these people are trying to teach an error.
That's right.
And the devil is behind that.
Amen.
He's behind the error. Why? To mess you up. Pervert the truth. Pervert the love. Now, beloved, look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the world would say to us, when you're preaching about hell, they're saying you have no love. But the truth be known, when you're preaching on hell and telling people they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved, that's really, it should be out of love.
Amen.
Now, when I first got saved and everything, I'd tell people they're going to hell because I didn't like them at the time. Before I was saved, I'd tell people to go to hell. I didn't like them. But then after I got saved, I'd tell people to go to hell. And it really wasn't because I loved them and trying to keep them out of hell. If you really love your family, you really love your friends, you really love people, you'd want to tell them the truth. You don't have to walk right up and say, hey, you're going to hell. You better get right. If it works, fine. I've done that. I've done the exact same thing. I walked up. I told my dad. I said, Dad, you don't get saved. You're going to burn in hell. You're going to bust hell wide open, Dad. And my dad getting mad and, want to fight and all kinds of stuff. But look in Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 10. I got this reference written down. Talk about love. Talk about loving God. Yeah, the Bible says if a man loves God, the same is known of him. But look at Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 25. Luke 10, 25. I like this. It says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Here's a lawyer asking Jesus what is written in the law. A lawyer is supposed to know what's written. And this is a Jewish lawyer now. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. Jesus said that. This do, and thou shalt live. And he willingly to justify himself said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? You know, the Bible says love thy neighbor as thyself. And then it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul.
Yeah.
Now, there should be a love. We was talking about people, this day and time. I think Abigail was telling me there was a guy in church. He would say, I want to be beat for Jesus. I want to die for Jesus. I said, if somebody's saying that, they really probably don't mean it. Somebody get up and say, I want to be beat for Jesus. I want to go die for Jesus. I said, and when it happens, they probably don't want that to happen.
Amen.
But I want to live for him.
Amen.
I remember a guy when I was in Bible school. And this guy would say, Dr. Ruttman. And he said, what? And the guy goes, I just want to go to China and I want to be a martyr for Jesus. He goes, help yourself, man. It's a free country. Go ahead. And the guy was just trying to get people to say, look at him.
Right.
Look how great he is. He was just trying to get sympathy for himself. He tried to make everybody think he was spiritual.
Yeah.
To show that he thought he could love people. Now, go back to 1 John 4. There's a lot. I wanted to get in this thing here. The Bible tells us to love one another, love God. And like I said, the Bible tells you there's some things that you shouldn't love.
Amen.
There's some things you shouldn't love. Now, if you go back to 1 John chapter 2, look at First John chapter 2, look at verse 15. God said, don't love this stuff.
That's right.
And then Nathan was telling me this week, a guy said he came to the class, he's some counselor. He says, I know what he was saying, but I said to Nathan, he said, first you got to love yourself. First thing popped in my mind, that counselor said that to the people. And I know why he said that, because he is saying that to the folks. He said he was a Christian. And he said, first you got to love yourself. I said, no, you don't. But he was saying that to them so they would realize, hey, you need to respect your body, not to take the drugs and all that stuff. That's what he was saying. I understand that. But the Bible says in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self. And you got to watch about loving yourself. You know, men love themselves. Women know more about loving God than men do. Why? Because men love themselves more. Women have to love others, children, growing. They experience it more. Now, if a man's in his right place doing what he's supposed to do, he can have that love as same as a woman when it comes to loving his children and everything else. But a woman has no problem with love. A woman has no problem with that. Men have the problem with it. Men have a problem with lust, not love. And look at this. The Bible tells us this. This is things the Bible tells you not to love. It says, love not the world. Amen. Love not the world. Everybody loves the world.
That's right.
So what is the world? The world system, man.
That's right.
All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. It tells you right here. Look at verse 16. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if you love God like we're supposed to love God, you'll do his will.
Amen.
You say, what is his will? You say, Lord, direct my steps.
Yes.
Now look here. Verse 15, love not the world, neither things in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When somebody stands up and they boast, oh, I love the Lord. I just want to tell you how much I love God. I just want to tell you, and they start doing it. In my own skeptical mind, I go, praise the Lord, I'm glad you do. But my skeptical mind will go, I hope you do.
That's right,
and you know what? You can prove you do. You don't have to go to China to be a martyr. You don't have to go somewhere
Amen.
To be a martyr. Just live for him. If you say you love God, just live for him.
Amen.
Be a testimony for him. People, they want to die. I told this guy one time, I said, it's easy to die for the Lord, but it's harder to live for him.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, live for him. Now, the Bible tells us to love one another. Look back to 1 John chapter 4. And there are the things you shouldn't love. And then it tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. So light and love. Look at verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That word perfected, man. I was reading back here somewhere, I was reading something that was talking about being perfect. Being perfect.
Amen.
Now, love can be perfected in your heart, in your life, if you're not a phony. Love can make you perfect and perfect you that you can be a real Christian. I was telling them about Harlan Popoff. Harlan Popoff was a real Christian. He was in Russia, he was part of the Soviet Union. He was arrested because the Russian government told the guys what they was going to preach, and they had agents sitting in the services when they preached. So he said, I'm not going to preach what y'all tell me to preach. So he preached the gospel, and they arrested him and put him in prison. I think he was in prison for 13 years. And I heard Harlan Popoff's testimony down in Pensacola. And Harlan Popoff told the story that he said that they would beat him and make him stand in the corner for 2 weeks at a time. And they said, all you got to do is say you're not going to preach the gospel no more. That's all you had to do. There's been many men through history that they tried to shut them up for preaching, and they said they love God. And he said, just don't preach no more. And they beat him. Every time he fell on the ground, they would go over and kick him and beat him. And finally, he had to crawl back up and stand up. He says his leg swelled up for 2 weeks, man. Can you imagine standing in the corner for 2 weeks just staring at a wall? They would play tapes in the other room of women screaming. They said, "We're," and they'd laugh. They'd get in his face. They said, "We're raping your wife in there. We're raping your daughters. We're having fun with them. All you got to do is quit preaching." My Lord, brother. You wonder, what would I? You say, "I'll stand for God. I don't care what." I hope you would. Harlan Popoff said this. He said he was walking through a rock pile with two guards. He was walking through there, and he said the guards knew he was going to try to commit suicide. And they had their guns, their flaps on their guns open. And he was walking through a pit with them, and he saw the gun. He reached over and grabbed the gun, stuck it in his mouth, and pulled the trigger. And it didn't go off. They started laughing at him. They mocked him. He fell to his knees and he was crying. He was going, "Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry." Years later, I got to hear the man speak. You talking about a man that had God on him. He's with the Lord now. But you think, man, what kind of faith that man had, the love he had for God. He was willing to go all the way. Now, the Bible tells us love one another. You know, love your brother more than you love yourself. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because we have given us his spirit of his spirit. For we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. For we have known and believed that love of God hath to us. God is love. There it is again. For he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. There it is again. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment, you won't have to hang your head because you lived a double life. That you have boldness in the day of judgment. So when you stand and say, "Lord, I love you." See, whenever Jesus dealt with his disciples, with Peter especially, he said, "You love me? Do you love me?" The Lord comes to us the same way. Do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. Well, I got to stop there. It's already quarter after. We'll get into this next time. Amen. Brother Ken.